The Equest Podcast, the easy listening funds industry podcast.
Equest provides expert training on funds regulation and compliance to funds lawyers, accountants, regulators, administrators, depositaries, fund managers, investment managers, and directors. Don't leave the delivery of your funds training program to colleagues who already have a heavy workload. Get Equest to design a bespoke training program and watch your staff rocket up the learning curve. Get serious about funds training, contact Equest and see how we can help you. Hello and welcome to the Equest podcast, the easy listening funds industry podcast. For this episode, we're expanding beyond the boundaries of Ireland and even Europe to Qatar, and I'm delighted to have as my co-host Giovanni Bandi, who works for the Qatari regulator. Giovanni, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks, Daniel. So I'm Giovanni Bandi. I'm the head of international investment management team at the Qatar Financial Center Regulatory Authority, which is one of the two sister companies of the Qatar Financial Center. As you know, we met in back in the time in the C5. So I'm a member of the IOSCO investment management team, and I also teach economics just for fun.
Just for fun, busy day then. Yeah. And tell me, what is it that you find about your role that enthuses you most, or gets the blood up?
Well, when I moved from London to Qatar, the fun thing, and it's still fun, was that you get to do everything, because it's such a smaller authority compared to the FSA back then. Now it's called FCA. And so as a head of the department, you do everything from supervision, insights and policies, talking to authorization of funds, authorization of firms. It's 360 degrees of regulatory work. And that is still fun, I think. Unique, I would say.
I'd say so, yeah. And so tell us a little bit about the industry in Qatar. How is it made up? Is it a lot of asset management prevalent there?
Well, there is a few asset managers which are local. So the structure of the industry is so that there is international asset managers which are set up in the Qatar Financial Center, and they would be big names that you know from the US or Europe. They tend to be smaller entities. Sometimes they just sell products which are managed elsewhere, or they arrange for management to be carried out in their home countries. But more and more we are seeing local firms, which actually, so banks, commercial banks, which set up their investment management arm in the Qatar Financial Center. And we also have cases of joint ventures between the government entities, such as the Qatar Investment Authority, so Qatar Holding, the sovereign fund of Qatar, and the international firms setting up new entities there to manage specifically certain mandates that have either regional asset allocations or global.
And are they tending to look inward then to invest in and around Qatar, or is it gathering assets then that leave Qatar to invest abroad?
Well, firms which are just selling products tend to just have allocations elsewhere. That's their channel, effectively, to distribution channel in Qatar. Local commercial banks with an arm in the Qatar Financial Center, they focus on GCC or actually Qatari stocks. Then the joint ventures they can have different mandates. It can be international real estate or things alike. So it is varied. What the latest trend though? Latest we only have one, but we just launched an ETF. So that was the first one in the country, despite being a growing asset class elsewhere. It took some time, but it is an ETF that is focused exclusively on Qatari stocks.
Sure. And of course, with ETFs, one of the big issues is around liquidity and liquidity of underlying stocks. But we were chatting earlier about Qatar now being included in the MSCI Emerging Markets list. So that's had an impact on liquidity.
Yes, then 2 or 3 years ago, Qatar, together with the UAE, was upgraded from frontier markets to emerging markets. And so by definition, that means that allocations into that segment, they also get reversed into the local market. And that really changed the landscape of the industry there, either directly or indirectly, clearly creating more liquidity. It was an upgrade of the market itself.
And the Qatar Financial Center, is the object of that to be the premier financial services center in Qatar and the Emirates and that part of the world?
Well, we have competitors in the UAE and elsewhere in the region. So initially it was set up as being, wanted to be a premier investment management center for the Middle East. It developed into two things. It's still trying to attract investment managers to move there and operate more out of Qatar. But also works as a bridge for transactions which occur between Qatari entities and foreign entities. One peculiarity of the Qatar Financial Center is that it is based on common law. And so international players out of the UK or the US or elsewhere, they are very familiar with the type of transaction that would occur. So more and more the structure is that of servicing local firms to do more international business.
That's interesting. So that the scope of the business model, if you like, has sort of shifted over time as you've seen different opportunities.
Yes, and that is it is the case. For example, insurance firms which want to have an international asset management arm, they're now moving into the center, so to be recognized and definitely play along with the other players in the same space of those institutions which we are familiar with, and so. We guarantee them that when they move outside of Qatar, being regulated and under the Qatar Financial Center legal structure, they can operate seamlessly with other players. And so at the same time, we are still a Qatari entity. And that combination allows for both inside doing business from Qatar and importing business from outside.
And you work on the regulatory side, Giovanni, so your authorization, supervision, policy, that kind of work, is it quite a sort of still a small enough number of firms that you're authorizing and supervising at the moment?
Yes, so the Qatar Financial Center is set up so that there is the Qatar Financial Center Authority and the Qatar Financial Center Regulatory Authority. Effectively, they are two distinctive entities, and the Regulatory Authority is completely independent from the other one. It works exactly as any other regulator, has the same structure of policy authorization, enforcement, legal, anything that you may have seen elsewhere. What is perhaps a bit more peculiar is that because it's still a small authority, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, teams tend to do more than they would do. They were specialized by team effectively, but we cover 360 of the activities that you would do with a regulator. But yes, well, we are independent.
And you have a separate development authority or development board that's sort of out there marketing the Financial Services Centre. You presumably work alongside them in terms of being able to explain what incoming promoters could expect in Qatar.
Yes, that the other, our sister authority, the Qatar Financial Center Authority, is managed and by the Minister of Finance. And so, if you want, it's almost like a branch of the Minister of Finance. Or treasury, whatever you want to call it. So all the activities that you would see in a developed country, such as Ireland, for example, of development and the type of structure, will be done at the Qatar Financial Center Authority level. So in the fund industry, for example, if we need to set up a trust, so we authorize the fund as being so, but it's the authority that develops the legislation for the trust. Mm. But at the same time, they do a lot of business development. And so they do listen to international operators who are willing to move to Qatar. And they're very quick in taking action or developing new structures if that is the request of the market. Yeah. So perhaps we are more active, I would say, in the development, and because we are smaller and we're really hungry for international business, there's the activities that you see them, they're very coordinated, if you will.
Yeah, and you mentioned at the outset in your introduction about IOSCO. So I guess your participation at IOSCO is part of that drive to build connections and build networks for your regulator with other regulators around the world.
Yes, so as we joined IOSCO, we wanted to make sure that we were in the right spot when it comes to setting international standards. The Qatar Financial Center has an ambition to still attract international players in the investment management space. And so we thought it was a good idea for the authority to join the C5, which is the Investment Management Committee. As I joined, I got very lucky because it's currently run by my previous employers and good friends out of London. And so they already knew me and was... I think it was easier for me to join.
Sure. And we had Rob on our February podcast. He chatted a bit about the work that IOSCO are doing. And one of the work streams is around leverage. And I know you're co-chairing that leverage work stream. How is that coming along? Is it developing quite well? Is it your thinking is clarifying?
Well, the work is on time, so that's good news. What we're doing so far is we're about to complete the CP, so the consultation paper for market participants before going to the FSB. This consultation paper will contain effectively what we call a step one measures. So in the introduction, when the paper comes out, you will see that there is a description of how a regulator should address the issue of analyzing and measuring leverage in funds for systemic purposes. And so given that mandate from the FSB, we have divided the work effectively into blocks. One is a consultation paper on measures of leverage, and we are taking specifically into account measures of economic exposures in that one. And then there will be a good practice paper that will address measure of risks, which can be used in combination with the exposures to understand better if a fund is systemically important or not.
Right, and this approach of the recommendations supported by good practices is something we saw in the liquidity work that that IOSCO produced earlier this year. So that kind of structure is something we're familiar with. Obviously, you've got to get back to the Financial Stability Board with your recommendations by the end of the year. So what is the timing for the consultation?
Well, we think that the consultation will be out by the end of summer. Most likely going to happen. We are on time so far, and I think that you will see something coming out in 3 months.
Okay, so somewhere around June, July time, 2018. Yeah, okay. And obviously you're not starting from a blank sheet of paper here on your leverage work, and you've got a number of members in the working group who can tell you about how they measure leverage already in their own jurisdictions, be it Europe or from the US or whatever. So the approach that will be in the consultation paper is likely to build on those and be something that people are more or less familiar with, certainly in developed markets, would you think?
Yes, well, if you look at the standards which are already out there for the European Union authorities and the American authority, and single one, so there's already measures which are considered for gross exposures. And so we are borrowing a lot from those. We didn't reinvent the wheel. However, there's few key questions which come out when you start looking into the math of these measures. And so The paper addresses questions such as how do you adjust these notionals, and which is done differently between the two big blocks of the US and Europe, or how do you treat the netting or hedging, which clearly from a fund manager point of view, if you have a pure hedge, it shouldn't be being a disadvantage for that reason, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking at effectively a structure in which, in step one, we look at the measures, and in step two, the regulators will look at the risk metrics, such as market risk and counterparty risks specifically.
And so I suppose when you deliver the final package to the Financial Stability Board, it is delivered to the FSB, but it's recommendations to regulators. So have you sense for how that plays out? Do the regulators take that and are they able to implement it themselves? Do they look to tweak then what information they're getting in from industry, or do they pass it wholesale on to industry and it becomes their problem?
Well, I don't think there will be a pass-through. That's not reasonable nor possible, I suppose. If you look at the current structure in Europe, you already have AFMD reporting, for example, which has the type of information. In the US, you have the PF form, which contains the type of information. The problem is not so much on the from an IOSCO point of view, the problem is not so much on the reporting part, is on the standard and the format. If you look at the definition that FSB has put down, they're talking about comparable or consistent measures of leverage. And so that's where the issue is. These measures that have to be consistent across jurisdictions so that IOSCO can go and collect that. There's three recommendations if you go and look at it. The first one is to determine what we are doing, so the measures and of leverage and risk. But there are another two recommendations, 11 and 12. 11 recommends for national authorities to collect the information, and 12 recommends IOSCO to collect it from national authorities. And so we have isolated our work to only the first recommendation, which is creating the measures, first of all. And I think more work will be done later. But again, it's a chicken egg situation. We already know that you will have to collect it, so whatever we write down has to be sensitive to those who already have the information.
Sure. And just lastly then, I'm just interested to know the involvement of the FSB at this stage. Obviously, as part of their work looking post-crisis at things that could go wrong, they identified leverage in funds, and they've asked IOSCO to produce recommendations. Are they now involved in the process, or do they completely step back and then just receive the recommendations at the end of 2018?
Well, we have a friendly relationship as IOSCO members with the FSB team. We hosted ourselves two industry roundtables, one in Paris in September and one in Washington in December. We invited FSB members to come along. And so a few of them came, and so that gives them a bit of a understanding of where we are going. Mm. They're not doing the job with us, but they are aware of where we're heading, or at least intuitively they can know what to expect in the CP. I don't think when the paper comes out it will be a full surprise for them.
No surprise.
It shouldn't be a surprise if they've been paying attention.
Probably just as well. Yeah. Just as well. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining me, Giovanni. I appreciate it. That's the wrap-up for this episode of the Aquest podcast, and we look forward to talking to you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Aquest podcast. If you'd like to subscribe, just drop an email to info@aquest.ie with podcast in the subject line. If you have any suggestions for future co-hosts or podcast topics, or if you have any feedback, again, just drop us a line at info@aquest.ie. Finally, if you want to get serious about your funds training, check us out on aquest.ie and see how we can help your staff rocket up the learning curve.
The Aquest Podcast, the easy listening funds industry podcast.